What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 242, episode 4 of
Their Daily Night Night! Yeah!
It's a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Friday, June 24th, 2022, which of course means that it is
National Take Back the Lunch Breaks Day.
Yes.
If you're take out here back. Eating at your desk or some shit, just take the lunch break back. Although most I've been at jobs where they're like, oh, we're just trying to take a lunch break. But you know, it's just bringing attention to the fact that there's an increasing trend that people just take shorter and shorter lunch breaks. Sets the boundaries.
I'm on my grind, Miles. I don't have time to eat and digest exactly. Food. I'm on my grind.
I eat when I sleep through an IV because I'm on my grizzy all day.
This was actually a holiday proposed by Jeff Bezos to take back the lunch break. So we didn't get lunch breaks in the first place. But, you know, we've taken the holiday back.
Right.
My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. And the man in the back said, my name is Jack and I'm going to drink some spicy dew. And Miles in the corner said, boy, you sure you want to? But he went and drank that spicy dew. That is courtesy of Reluctant Monk. And courtesy of Wayne's World. I thought that was a Wayne's World original. I was like, yeah.
You thought that was Cassandra's track?
Yeah, I thought that was Cassandra. I thought that was a Cassandra Ridge.
You know what? I thought that, it was also the first time I heard Dreamweaver too. And I was like, man, they got a sick ass original song. The only one I knew was like Foxy Lady because my dad was blasting Hendrix all the time.
Yeah, and then Bohemian Rhapsody, which Queen wrote for that movie. They just wrote it, I think, 14 years in advance. But anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Hey, you know what time it is straight out of North Hollywood. The Lord of Linkersham himself is Mr. Hideo Noho, winding up and ready to release. And maybe, hopefully soon, give you our takes on Elvis, because we will be seeing Elvis soon. So look forward to that.
We're going to see Elvis tonight. I'm excited. Elvis. I feel like this is culturally an important movie. Like, the existence of Elvis and like his following when I was a kid, I like connect the realization that like I live in a foreign country where Elvis is like the most famous person to like modern day MAGA shit. Like my first inkling that like, oh, I don't know the people who live in this country. I don't know any of this motherfucker's stuff. And he is the Lord Jesus to many people across this nation. Anyways, Miles, we're thrilled to be joined by a very special guest, an award-winning podcast host, mm-hmm. a writer, producer, actor, voice artist, one of my favorite singers. It's Jacquees Neal!
Go to sleep. Close your eyes.
Yeah.
Jacquees just woke up. Zeitgeist. What up, everybody? What you're hearing is a man who woke up, clock it, 20 minutes ago.
There it is.
And this is appreciate a beautiful that. Morning. Oh, no. I appreciate you guys having me. Let me tell you something. The older you get, the more you need sleep. I don't know if that's a groundbreaking notion that anybody needs to hear, but it's true.
Yeah.
I just came back from Vegas, and a week before, and like a few days before that, I was in New Orleans.
Two famously restful places. Great places to
cities
just get
that are
restorative downtime.
Oh, man. And then last night, instead of just coming home, and I was at the airport for like 7 hours with flight delays and cancellations, instead of bringing my dumb ass home and saying, I'm going to rest, I had to go do a fundraiser show for someone who has been diagnosed with breast cancer. So it was a good cause. But then we went out after and like, I'm just too old for this shit, y'all. But, you know, I'm here. I'm here. Yeah. You know, we professionals in here.
There
what's
it is.
What's up, everybody? What's up?
Okay, I'm glad you made it.
We appreciate your professionalism, your being here.
Oh, I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, going through the gauntlet of Vegas and New Orleans to end up here. You know,
yes.
There's no small task.
You know
task.
What? This is, I feel like Thanos. I went through it all to get my five rings. And
there
the Daily Zeitgeist is my fifth ring.
Yeah. And Thanos is basically the hero of those movies, I feel.
Of course
like.
He is. So, of course he is. We need half our population gone, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say which half of the population is gone. I don't think it should be random. But we do need half the population gone. So Thanos is a hero in my book. Shakespearean hero.
Got to teach these kids, don't be an Iron Man. Be a Thanos.
Yeah.
Be a Thanos. You know? Don't bring everybody back. Let everybody
be
go.
A damn Thanos.
I've seen articles saying that, because I'm hearing very bad things about like what travel has been like over the past month. And people are like, this is not like just some temporary blip. This is travel from now on. What you knew as travel, which was uncomfortable and felt like shit, is actually the best case scenario. The golden age is over. That I think that's mostly like a Wall Street Journal fueled like take, but that's still unsettling.
Which is born out of, you know, not enough people wanting to work for the low wages. And they're like, well, you know, it's just a labor shortage, you know, so it's going to be like this until people are, you know, ground down to a dust that's desperate enough to take these jobs again.
Yeah. I say pay people more, pay people double, pay people triple. If you want workers, you want shortage, but they don't care because people going to travel and, you know,
because even
don't
like
get me started.
I'd imagine even like the people who are running those airlines, like they're like, I don't fucking fly on my airline. Are you fucking kidding me? I got a P-Jet.
No.
Yeah, they came into the editorial room at Wall Street Journal and were like, you guys, I got a glimpse into coach class and holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
It stinks in there. It fucking stinks in there.
It smells like poor.
Yeah.
Have you ever not taken your Ambien? Like before you get on the plane, so you're still awake when the people are walking by to go back there.
Yeah.
Oh, they look so unhappy.
Can't believe how some of these people were dressed.
Right.
Have you ever had to go into the bathroom to join the Mile High Club? What?
What is that?
What is that? You just do it right on the couch.
All right, Jacquees, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. Fox has some interesting views on nicotine. They're mad about Juul being banned. And both Tucker and what's his name? Sean Hannity are nicotine lords, and they're pissed. And
oh, hell yeah.
I mean, I feel like this is not a bad base to jump on, because like it is like people are going to be mad. Like the whole population of the United States is going to be cranky as fuck. So 100%. Just like from a pure political, cynical calculation, like being the they shouldn't take away our vapes side of the issue is not bad calculating. We're going to talk about Trump's vanity, how that's causing problems. We're going to talk about leaked Amazon memo. We're going to talk about New York Magazine publishing a big story about how cancel culture is out of control because a 17-year-old boy got canceled for sharing a nude picture of his underage girlfriend without her permission. And they're just like, what's next? It's just like another example of how the supposedly left-leaning mainstream media is fucked. So,
but it's like full on. Put your capes on for misogyny, folks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that plenty more. But first, Jaquise, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Ooh, it was something from my search history. The famous question I'm always prepared for, baby. You know,
famous question.
I love watching your phone screen illuminate your face off camera. Oh yeah, I'm prepared.
Yeah, I'm scrolling, prepared. Scrolling, scrolling.
Preparation is a funny word. And
yeah,
preparation. What is it now?
What is it? You know what? What's in my it's just a bunch of like looking for bars. That's what's in my search history right now.
Which city?
Because you know, I just came back from two famous bar places.
Have
y'all, you know, like the older I get, the lamer I feel, like, because I let me, do y'all feel like this where, you know, motherfuckers be knowing bars and shit, and I be like, I just know like three bars. Like, I don't know where to go. And people be like, oh yeah, man, I know this really dope ass bar. It's in the cut. You got to go around the corner and everybody's there, the coolest people there. And I'm like, I could take y'all to Yard House real quick, you know.
Right. Y'all been to BJ's? They got
y'all
pizookies.
Been to BJ's? BJ's is tight, man. They got that pizookie.
Yeah, I feel like that all the time. Like, especially when I interact with like younger friends, like people in their like late 20s, mid 20s and shit. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, you haven't been to this restaurant? And I love food. And I'm like, how the man, I've fallen completely off. But also pandemic, like also kind of shifted my priorities too, where I'm like, I'm less likely to be looking for a spot to get completely twisted at.
Yeah.
But it is always, I'm never surprised how little I know about the new shit.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. And you know, I'm okay with it because, you know, I'm tired of spending all this money at establishments. You know, just get a grocery store and come to the crib. But yeah, man, that's my search history is.
Have bars like added anything new? I haven't been drinking for like 6.5 years. The bars that I liked were mainly about proximity and cheapness of beverage. And usually, like, if possible, it would be great if they weren't blasting loud music so I could like talk to people. Those were my three criteria for liking a bar. But is there something new that bars have?
Oh yeah, man! You can get cocaine at bars now, just on the menu
on tap.
That was was always possible, also. But
Coke on tap, no cap.
The tap is new. The tap is new. It's not coming from somebody's pocket now. It's coming.
Yeah, oh okay. Yeah.
Like I think the biggest thing that I've noticed is obviously like the big shift over the last few years was more like mixology, like having a cocktail program,
right?
Whereas man, prior to that shit, I was always like, I had one drink. It was a Jack and Coke. That's all I pretty much drank all the time.
I've been drinking a lot of bourbon mules lately. A little twist on the Moscow Mule because we ain't saying Moscow no more. That's 100% why.
And that's how I stand in solidarity.
I could not care less about having a Moscow Mule. But like, I've been doing bourbon mules lately. But I went somewhere yesterday and they had a drink. It was good. It was called the Trinidaddy. I kept calling it the Trick Daddy. And and like he was making my drink. I'm looking at it. He putting it in a small glass. And then this dude brings out a blowtorch and sets my shit on fire. And I'm like, what? What? And then I tasted it and it wasn't hot. I was like, I see fire on this shit.
How, Sway? How?
How? How? But it was good. It was a good drink.
Yeah, I think, Jack, maybe the thing, because I'm the same way. I'm like the era of dive bars and locals, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, yeah. It wasn't about looking good when you went to a bar. It's just about getting right when you got to the bar. And now I feel like the emphasis really is, like, it's like going out now. Like, bars, the interior, there's so much more attention paid to the interior. There was, like, a new place that, like, opened up in Eagle Rock recently. I saw Dave Schilling there in the cut. So you knew it was looking good. Yeah. And I was like, damn, like everything just feels like elevated. But it also feels like the kind of shit where, like, when a recession hits, those are the kinds of bars that go. And then it's just like back to basics where it's back your divey local
places
that survives.
For sad people to drink.
Right.
I'm going to need my bars to have food too, man. I need all my bars to have some type of food, even if I don't want it. I just want to smell it. I want to know it's there. I want to know the option is available. And I ain't talking about nuts. I want food. Give me some fries. Every bar should have fries and pizza. And all my Chicagoans are out there like, damn, most of our bars do have pizza. Well, not most, but a lot of our bars do have pizza. Like that. Y'all don't know how much of a luxury that is.
Well, because y'all eat in Chicago. Y'all are eating in Chicago. Right. In L.A., Jack and I were in a conversation where we heard somebody talking about, like, the weirdest ways to lose weight. Like when we were at this event, and I'm like, the difference in culture about consuming food, like in LA, people are so image conscious. They would be like, well, we have popcorn that's like negative calorically that you can eat. I'd rather be in Chicago. Yeah. Like, you want a fucking meal too? Yes, here.
Yes. And New York has cocaine, as mentioned. So that's
on the menu.
I am curious though, like, you know, I've heard tell of like bars where the prices change like based on demand and how much a given drink is being ordered. It's called like Wall Street or something in New York, or that I think that was maybe a few years back. But like, I don't know. I do think it's like cool that our culture has gone more like experience based and valuing experiences. And so like I'm sure there's so much room for improvement in bars. I just haven't thought, or you know, my brain was not equipped to be like, maybe this isn't the best possible experience.
Yeah.
What is something, Jakees, you think is overrated?
Here's the thing, y'all. You know, everybody that comes on the show, you say, we got to get to know you better. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like at this point, y'all know me. So we're going to play a little game here. We're going to play a little game. I'm going to pull up a random word generator, and I'm just going to make a case. I'm just going to make a case.
I love how you prepared this bit.
Oh, you know, I prepared it. I prepared
Activate
it heavily.
The word generator.
Yes, I prepared it heavily. I've been thinking about this for a few days now. Like, I want to do something special for the Zeit Gang.
Okay.
Here we go. Generate word. This is, what's this? Overrated?
Yeah. It's overrated.
Serious.
Okay.
Let me tell y'all why being serious is overrated.
I think, okay.
Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a saying, like, and I'm a perpetually on-time person, especially before I moved to L.A. Like, everybody who moves to L.A. is never on time. Like, 5 minutes late is on time here. But, like, I try to be on time everywhere, right? But they say people who are on time die earlier than people who are perpetually late because they ain't got no stress in their life. They ain't got no worry in their life. And I'm starting to understand that, you know, being serious and always having a cowl on your face or scowl on your face. You know, you get wrinkles and shit. And like the Joker acts. Why so serious? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Why so serious? And he got a point. Batman
Bring
was...
Bring it back to the Prophet.
By the Prophet, Joker.
The Heath Prophet Joker.
He's like,
we've already
so
mentioned
serious?
The two... Yeah, the two See? Biggest heroes in comic book movies. The Joker and Thanos. And Thanos.
It's Thanos.
Get on the right
you know?
Side.
Yeah. They're on the right side of history. Right side of history. And
Thank
you know what
you.
I'm saying? Batman, he is serious. And this, you want to know why seriousness is overrated? This nigga got $1 billion and choose to fight crime. Like, he choose to fight crime in, like, a bad... Like, I would fight crime in a white-collar city if I was a billionaire. I wouldn't be in these streets beating people up, getting shot at. Meanwhile, Joker up here having fun, burning money, you know, falling from buildings and having nigga save him. Like, you know how invincible I would feel if I fell from a 15-story building and I knew somebody was going to save me because they had a cold? Because they were so serious? Overrated.
Yes.
Overrated.
What is something you think is underrated?
Let me pull back up the random word generator. Ankle.
Ankles are underrated.
Ankles are underrated, man. Honestly, I'll give you know we got a lot of body parts we like, right? There's nothing like a good ankle, you know. And
absolutely,
an ankle is a beautiful thing. You know, you see that ankle point. You see the little bone pop out. Also, I will say this: I've been boxing lately, and then you do a lot of like balancing and things like that just to work your core and shit like that. And one thing that I've never considered is your ankle strength. Your ankle strength is very important to sports, stability, and everything like that. And I feel like that's the one thing that we don't actually work on. So if you want some stability in your life, and I'm not just talking about physical stability. I'm talking about if you want your relationships to be stable.
Wow, the ankle gospel. Preach it.
You want your friendships to be stable. You want your work life to be stable. You want your financial situation to be stable. You can't be stable on unstable ankles. So get those ankles stable, y'all. Get those ankles
stable.
Steph
Curry. Yeah. Steph Curry, probably the biggest moment of the past 10 years NBA history is when Steph Curry decided to get his ankles strong.
He did. Because everybody was like, Steph is going to be injury prone the rest of his life. And now he's like the most durable, conditioned player I've ever seen.
For somebody who's like built like that, the fact that he's not injured all the time, people like non-NBA fans might not know, but when he came in the league, it was like the first couple years he was hurt a lot, always ankles. People were like, well, he's a liability. You could have traded pretty low for him back in the first couple of years of his career. And then he just started doing like strengthening exercises for parts of your body that I didn't know there were strengthening exercises for. And suddenly we have our ankle king, Steph Curry.
You know what? I don't know if many people know this, but in that first Warriors dynasty, my cousin was on that team, Mr. Harrison Barnes. And I've always been about this ankle life. You know what I'm saying? This ain't random. Okay. This is ingrained in my DNA. And I hit up Harrison. I was like, hey, yo, cuz, tell that Curry kid, get them ankles right. And he did. And he did. And the rest is history. So, you know, when everybody's putting stuff in their top 10 now, which I am as well, just don't forget about me is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
It all comes back to the ankles and Jaquez.
Yep. That's where it comes back to.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Jewel has officially been pulled from shelves, or I don't know if like officially, like I haven't been to a gas station in the past couple of days, so I don't know. But like those are the headlines. Is that, you know, we mentioned in trending that it was expected in the next couple of days. They went and did the dang thing. And Fox News is pissed.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, first of all, it kind of makes sense because they would turn this into the new culture war battlefield, like right. You were saying. When it's anything that people have like a dependency on or like habitual use of, starting to get in the way and be like, going to take that thing that makes you happy away, seems like a thing to easily sort of generate outrage on. But I got to point out that both Hannity and Tucker, they fucking love nicotine. So I have a feeling they were definitely speaking from like their own love of nicotine as well. But Hannity, who we've seen on multiple occasions, like vaping between his like MMA training sessions, or like that one time he was caught vaping like live on the air. He basically went like full ass Charlton Heston with his take on what, you know, what he will or will not allow to happen with his vapes.
Last year, Juul sales dropped 11%, and considering the U.S. is its biggest market, this will be devastating. Juul can appeal the decision or revise its application for products, but Sean, both of those
come on, Sean.
A bunch of time and a whole Let lot know. Of money. Sean.
They ban it, and I'll do it live on TV, and they can come and arrest me. How's that?
All right. I don't think that's what the rule is, man.
Now, especially in light of this. Now, while the Biden FDA wants to stop vaping, many Democratic-run cities and states, they have no problem decriminalizing even hard drugs.
So then he goes on to be like, oh, back to what the liberals, if they hate nicotine but love psychedelics?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Hard drugs.
I mean, you know, listen, hard drugs are better for you. But, like, I love Fox News, man. I love Fox News because
giving voice to the voiceless.
I mean, they're giving a voice to the voiceless. I've never seen a group of adult people, mostly men, white men, who just effectively know how to pull bullshit out of nothing. It's just like,
yeah,
nigga, you ain't smoked Juul in probably 5 years. Like, they pulling, like, Juul ain't even popular no more. Like, there's so many vaping products out there that people are using now. And it's like,
yeah, I feel like Hannity's like, Juul's for poor people. Fuck
yeah. He was like, Juul? I don't buy that crap. I buy it.
But either way, he's like, love my Juul that I stole from my intern.
I feel like he would actually Juul, and he did have a Juul in his hand like a laser pointer when he was making that
point. Vapes.
He vapes, sure. And I do feel like of the vapes, Juul is the one that's like traded on the stock market. And so like that
there it is.
Yeah, and it's more expensive than everything else. So I do feel like he's probably Juuling out here, if I had to guess.
I wonder how much, if he's like a bag holder, because he's got like all this vapes, like Juul stock that's like about to turn to like ash in his hands, where he's like, fuck, man. He's like, we got a cape for Big Vape.
We do. We got a cape for Big Vape. Also, can you get arrested for smoking on television?
No.
Okay.
You get fined. Like in some ways, it's like an FCC fine in like some context, but not in the way that he's trying to act like, watch me be a hero. Watch me be a martyr for Juul.
Yeah, that's what I love, man. What? They gonna get they people to be like, yeah, you know what? If they ban Juul, I'm gonna smoke it everywhere, and so I dare you to arrest me. It's like, bro, don't nobody care about you smoking nothing. And I'm guessing the reason why, I don't know, like, what is the exact reason why they want to ban the Juul brand?
Well, what they're trying to do is reduce the levels of nicotine in it.
Yeah,
but the way that they're, again, for like the purposes of like screaming about it, is to be like, they're trying to take it all out. And that's not what they're doing. They just want to lower the amount of nicotine in cigarettes. That's it. But again, they have to put it like that because it's the same way where they're like, they're going to take our hamburgers. You know, it's just easy to just say this is all about banning things rather than what they're saying, like, you know, being disingenuous about what's actually happening. So let's move on to Tucker Carlson, who has an even more wild idea about nicotine and why we need to actually be standing up for Big Vape.
Yes.
Yesterday, the FDA announced it's planning to remove virtually all nicotine from cigarettes. Now, nicotine is not the thing that gives you cancer. Nicotine is the thing, it's addictive, but it also increases mental acuity. But they're taking that out.
God.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the agency will also ban Juul e-cigarettes. Now, what happens when you get off nicotine? Well, your testosterone levels plummet and you gain weight, both of which the administration is for because you become more passive and easier to control.
What? What?
Yeah.
What?
That's what he said.
I love that he had to throw in there, it's addictive, but it also raises your mental acuity. And if they take it away, you'll grow a vagina.
I don't know what they really are trying to act like. Nicotine is somehow like the ooze from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, this shit will make you powerful. And then if you get off of it, your life will be ruined forever. Very big
energy.
Here's
the thing,
man.
Here's the thing. Like, if you just legitimately wanted to say they want to take nicotine out and ban this stuff or whatever, which they don't, but they want to ban this shit. And they shouldn't do that because it should be our choices, what we put in our bodies. Like, that's still not a great argument, but that is a better argument than trying to say all this other shit. It raises your mental acuity. When you stop nicotine, your dick don't grow no more. And your testosterone, and you don't feel like a man no more. Like, why make up all this bullshit?
Because, again, you know, just, I got to appeal to people's sense of toxic masculinity or like gender identity, whatever, to be like, and that's the team you're on. You're on the team. Let your testosterone plummet and get controlled by Joe Byron. Yeah. Oh, OK. That's you.
Joe Byron.
Yeah, that's what they're really, really, really the message they're trying to hammer home. What's wild, though, too, is apparently Tucker Carlson doesn't smoke, like he quit. But he, according to like this profile, him in The New Yorker, he buys nicotine gum in bulk from New Zealand. Like, he's not casual with it. He's not like, oh, let me get my shit. He's like, nah, the only shit that I really fuck with is in New Zealand. And according to that article, if he's not on the air, he's chewing that gum.
That's insane.
So you can tell, like, for him, he clearly, like, is coming from the perspective of, like, don't fucking even look at my nicotine in any kind of way. But that's how you know the dude loves it, because he's trying to say that, like, it actually gives you superpowers. That's why I do it. That's why I love it.
Well, we all know, famously a man, Tucker Carlson, and we know where he gets it from. He gets it from his nicotine.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I need, man. Maybe that's why I'm not feeling like a man, you know? Maybe that's why
More nicotine.
I need some more nicotine in my life so I can feel like, I don't know, Frank Thomas or some shit.
Could you imagine the big hurts? Like, people always ask me, the big hurt, what's my secret? It's not this meal plan shit I'm hawking right now on TV. It's Mm-mm. cigarettes.
It's cigarettes. I smoke a pack God. And go hit home runs.
And yes, Jack was quiet for a second there, not because he was, you know, completely offended by our sort of take on what Tucker Carlson was saying, but because he was having internet difficulties.
I'm Team Tucker on this one. I think you guys are being lame. And
we're trying to save you, Jack. We're trying to save you.
Nicotine's
trying to save you,
guys.
All right.
It gives you absolutely no feeling of satisfaction. It just makes you feel like shit when you don't have it, if you're addicted to it. And that is the sign of a good drug.
Yep.
Right.
Famous.
Do you have terrible withdrawals?
The famous Fox News plant, Jack O'Brien, here to side with the Carlsons.
The Murdochs have done it again.
They've done it again.
But yeah, do want to talk about the Trumps really quick, because Coachella, you know, they had another day, complete, you know, furthering this sort of narrative of how the DOJ was also being pressured to get in on the fuckery. But a big thing that came out was saying like, oh, you know what, we might have to postpone some hearings, because I think Benny Thompson described it as a deluge of new evidence that they have to go through. I'd imagine it has something to do with this documentary that we found out where all the raw footage just got subpoenaed, where this documentary crew was following the Trumps like through the tail end of the election, like up until and through January 6th. And you know what they say, like when documentary film crews are rolling, you kind of forget that a lot of shit is going to be on wax. And just based on the clip that CNN just put out of what is in this documentary, at the very least, it looks like there's going to be something interesting. Now, I'm not convinced that this documentary has any kind of smoking gun footage at all, but just watching how the Trumps appear in this documentary, it really, really makes you realize that these people were so cocky about the whole thing that they really thought they were going to pull this shit off and also make a DVD to sell after the fact. They're like, and this is how we triumphed over everything.
Well, you got to get bonus footage for the coup, you know, like the DVD extras for the coup.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. The Criterion Collection.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to y'all, man. I love behind the scenes. I love just like what was really going on, especially with historic shit and the White House, or just, you know, things that you aren't privy to as, you know, the public. For a lot of these private things. And as much as it was a terrible presidency, and that's an understatement, and as much as he is truly the worst, and that's an understatement, I would be very excited to like see some behind the scenes, but not like some not the Republican controlled, like a real motherfucker who's like, this is how fucked up the White House was when Trump was the president. That shit is going to be so interesting. Like, that is going to be like the 2016 Cubs documentary, where it's like, this is the only time in history where you're going to get this, like, unfiltered shit that is going to be so interesting and such a train wreck to watch. And it's going to be a beautiful thing. I honestly love it.
I am in no way against the existence of this thing. I'm thrilled that it exists. Like, it's not in his best interest, but it's definitely in our best interest that this exists. And I think, to Miles's point, he can't help himself. Like, it, you know, a documentary about the Obama White House is going to be boring as fuck, because he is super calculated and knows exactly, like, is just very camera aware and has you know, all the filters in place to appear exactly how he wants to appear. Trump can't do that. So just from an entertainment perspective, I have no idea legally speaking, what we're going to be dealing with.
Yeah.
From that perspective, too,
right? Like, you know, half the time, right, when we see like documentaries about like monstrous people, like in the tail end of their careers, they just let people follow them around with cameras, and it becomes the most damaging shit you've ever seen. Because they're like, I'm totally in control of this production. Yeah, they're like, watch me say some wild shit right now that I know I'll be able to take off the cutting room floor later. But usually it ends with the documentarians being like, they didn't pay me. I own all the footage. So fuck them. Here it is. And let me just play this so you can hear like the cockiness, the smugness of the Trumps, that they really feel like, this is a thing we're in total control of that's being filmed about us, and we're going to say whatever we like. So check just this little snippet out from the documentary Unprecedented is what it's called.
Okay.
My father, he's very honest, and he is who he is.
He believes everything that he's doing is right.
I think I treat people well, unless they don't treat me well, in which case you go to war.
Can we talk for a minute about January 6th?
Yeah.
So that's like the little snippet. That's
the teaser.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think... And what Maggie Haberman, the famous Trump whisperer at the New York Times, is saying is this is causing a little bit of anxiety among the family. She said, quote, my understanding is that there's some anxiety among some family members about what might have been said. Again, not necessarily for legal reasons, but just because there are things which are at odds with other statements that have been made.
Oh, of course. I mean, like, you know, like on election night. That orange motherfucker knew he lost. He probably said it all throughout the damn White House and then went on TV and was like, we didn't lose. We're actually winning, blah, 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 blah. I'm the president. Like,
or just, the duplicity of like Ivanka Trump, who's like, I realized that the election was lost. Meanwhile, she's probably going to be in this thing like, Dad, we got to do, like, there is some testimony that alleges that she was basically pushing for like, well, you got to do whatever you got to do, Dad, to figure this shit out. Like, kind of shit. Never like, I accepted what Bill Barr told me. And we know that because this whole family is sort of, their whole existence is based on their father being able to continue the grift and they can draft off of that.
And you don't get to be the favorite in a family where people are so competitive for his attention and, you know, would like, learned at an early age, like kill or be killed by their dad when they were skiing and he would try and trip them with his ski poles. Like you don't get there by not thin slicing the truth and having different versions of how you want to present yourself to your dad versus the outside world. So, you know, I'd be surprised if this, follows through on the promise of that, but I would love it if it did.
I mean, I think the one thing they're really scared of is not, you know, being shown as the TV charlatan salesmen that they are, but more so being shown that all the people who love them and vote for them and who, you know, do all this shit in the name of making America great again and Trumpism, they hate y'all motherfuckers too. Like, they probably talk shit about y'all and call you dumb and be like, we got these dumb motherfuckers. Like, I think that is one thing they're more scared of really coming out is that they know they're playing their base. Thing is, their base won't care. They'll be like, you know what? We are dumb, but we still
or they'll be like, wait, but you're still racist, right? They're like, hell yeah, we racist. They're like, all right, we're back.
All right, good enough.
They're like, yeah, I'm dumb as fuck anyway.
They know they're playing their base.
And just on another quick note, Mo Brooks, who we spoke about yesterday, Mr. Body Armor himself, who lost his primary race and is now going to be relegated to just normal fucking guy, has now said he is like, I want to testify in front of the January 6th committee. My conditions are that it is on live TV, though.
Yeah.
Well, for someone who's so famously quick on his feet, it makes sense as a request. But I feel like he'll just go up there and like continue to repeat the same talking points. Like,
exactly. Or do it to further prove to Trump how loyal he is. Because we saw it from like a few other people. The speaker of the like Arizona state legislature, after being like, I had to, you know, obey my oath and I wasn't going to do what Trump told me. When they asked if he'd vote for Trump again, he's like, yeah, I probably would.
Is there any indication that they're getting access to this documentary footage because of what has already been revealed in the like chain? Because the timing is weird, right? The time, like it seems like what were you spending the last year doing? Why aren't we like what? Why do we have to delay this for you to go through this evidence? Is there any indication that like the makers of this documentary saw what was happening on the January 6th committee hearings and was like, oh shit, like. We need to give them access to this immediately because that would be like my hope.
No, I'm not sure what the chain of events was, and I haven't really read into like how they got to that point. But it sound from based on the reporting, it almost felt like maybe through other testimony they kept hearing like a reference to like I don't know maybe that camera crew, and they're like wait what? So, huh? And then maybe from that perspective where like there's a whole, because you'd imagine they would have known about this and had it for a minute, but between that Proud Boys documentary that was shot by the dude who directed the special delivery video for G-Dep and this, I feel like they're somewhat just finding out now that there's even more evidence. But you know, whatever. They're taking their July 4th break, and we'll find out more after, I guess.
Yeah, he was staging the coup. He was about to meet with the generals to figure out if he could get them on board to just overthrow and do military rule of the entire nation. But first, we had to set up for lighting. So that was, of course, you know, gave us 30 minutes. And they're like, what do you mean? Light? Well, there was a full film crew that was documenting every moment of this.
Every moment? Every moment. You didn't hear about that? you should probably hit him up. Here's his name.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ilya Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And there's a new article in New York Magazine, which New York Magazine, I think everyone in America would immediately identify as like having a left-leaning bias.
New York Magazine.
But so they just released an article about how hard it is to be canceled in modern America. It focused on a 17-year-old kid who showed his classmates a nude picture of his underage girlfriend without her permission at a party. She found out like at the start of the next school year, felt betrayed, broke up with him. And then like other people stopped talking to him and he got like put on lists like on a bathroom wall of people to like look out for with regards to like predators. And this is at a time when there are protests and walkouts due to Title IX rollbacks that the Trump administration did. The article does not dig into that. And like what, you know, it basically is like, yeah, people were offended that like some nude photos were being shared around. And so there were walkouts. But it is centered on this anonymized young man protagonist who's being treated like a pariah, which is definitely a change from the early 90s when the coolest kid in my middle school would literally like show people his penis in health class and everyone was like, ah, Frank, you're right, crazy, yeah. Frank. But the New York Magazine article basically asks, is this really better? Which, yes, yeah. I'd say first of all, yes, it's way better. Having way unofficial better. Like social policies that err on the side of protecting young women and correcting sexually predatory behavior is better than policies that encourage and even reward like young men for behavior that is predatory.
The whole article is so wild, like in just centering this like young man as the victim, no real mention of like revenge porn, the effects that has on people. There's like a mention of like how some of like the black or brown students, there had been allegations against them, but those were like false, but not really like even following up on that. And there's like so many things as you read, you're like, wait, what about this? What about, Like, it wasn't until 2017 where, like, societally we were being like, okay, what do we need to do something about rape culture? Is that something that needs to be addressed? Because prior to that, slut shaming was like the standard practice. And it was always about, dude, the dude, I don't know, it's just being a dude, but this girl is bad. And because there's like this inversion, it's sending off alarm bells for people who are all about the status quo. And they're like, well, hold on, man. Like, we're now holding young boys to account for shit. It wasn't always like this. Always like this. And I think that's what's really fucked up about this article, because if kids at that age have the wherewithal to know someone who is, you know, acting predatory or like has no consideration for a person's consent, I don't really want to be with that. That sounds like a bit of progress, because these were not words I even considered in my youth, because the conversation was so backwards back then that everything was there to just reinforce this idea that your boys are just boys will be fucking boys.
If the protagonist of this article had been a young woman facing like social backlash for something like far less egregious, completely innocent, it wouldn't even be an article, because that is just what is accepted as high school behavior. People like make up rumors about girls and young women all the time, and they deal with like reputational repercussions for years.
Depression, all kinds of like mental health outcomes become fucked up as a result of that shit.
It's wild too that, you know, like, first of all, if your girlfriend is sending you nude pictures, any girl really, but your girlfriend is sending you nude pictures, why are you showing other people your girlfriend's body? Like, that doesn't, it's just like the like you said, the culture of young men and boys not caring about the sacred nature of their relationship in relation to, you know, giving their boys, you know, the credence of, hey man, how cool am I, man? She giving me naked pictures. Like, you know, we got to change that shit, because
because it's truly the objectification of a human being. It's now it's not, you're a person, you a object, you a JPEG on my phone. You're not a person,
right?
And you you basically a trading card I have as like a testament to my, you know, masculine appeal or whatever the fuck it is. I think what's interesting for all these people who are constantly talking about like these criticisms of cancel culture, there's not enough acknowledgement of cancel culture is born out of the kinds of levels of accountability that are people trying to see. Those aren't realistic. Those aren't happening. So the next place that people go to is saying, I'm not fucking with this person. I'm ostracizing them because there's no other accountability because it doesn't come from the administration or law enforcement or the government or whatever level people are looking at shit at. And I think what's interesting is it's sort of the issue that I feel like in general, right? If we're going to progress as people, and people have sort of talked about the same thing of like when people are transgressing or like falling outside of like the norms of what we need to have like for a functioning, healthy society, it's like cancel culture or just the idea that, oh, fuck them, they're canceled, is the same way we look at people who like we incarcerate, right? And not to say that they're even similar, but the idea is, oh, they fucked up, toss them out. And right. A lot of people who advocate for real change say we need something restorative, right? It can't just be toss somebody out. It needs to be education. It needs to be, let me tell you why this is wrong. This is what's going on. Because I think what happens is we have no path to actually improve somebody when they fall off.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's another
the approach of just being like, we're being too mean to them is also like not like they also removed this really important context from it. So they didn't say like where this story is happening. They're like, could be any town USA, could be right next to you. But Gawker basically figured out it was like where it was. And there was a citywide movement happening in like high schools across the city that was a protest in reaction to what the Trump administration did to Title IX, which is basically they changed it from like being, you know, when somebody, at least the letter of the law was when somebody like issues an accusation, like you have to take that seriously. They changed it to a procedure where like basically you put the two people in a room and essentially say, talk it out. And instead of like framing the issue around one party that has caused harm to the other, you know, they Gawker did a really good kind of analysis of this New York Magazine piece. And they interviewed somebody, Know Your Nine manager, Sage Carson. And they were like, it's basically like the new system rests on the idea that there is harm on both sides that needs to be mediated. Like it treats the boy's complaint that his reputation has been harmed as like something that needs to be taken seriously. And like that the other person needs to like understand that and like make up for that.
This is just we're seeing like these massive dysfunctions in our society, like kind of begin to have moments of reckoning. And the sort of response is to like victim blame. Or get and be like, well, you know, it's the same thing. You look at like white fragility, right? People are now being like, well, people are thinking that they're bad because of racism and we need to think about that.
And I'll just say this. If you do something wrong, you should face the consequences. So what we're telling young women is your boyfriend showing your naked body to people that you didn't give permission to is not wrong because we're being too mean to him and he's the victim. And look, if you're going to choose to do that, nobody can stop you. But if you get caught or somebody finds out you did that shit, you can't fight the consequences. Take your fucking lumps, take your whoopings, take your L's, as they say. And that's why we have to start telling these young kids, nah, that shit is wrong. And if you continue to do that throughout your life, you will face consequences. And that's how we change it, is by making people face the consequences. It's not cancel culture. It's facing consequences for your goddamn wrong actions. That's it.
Yeah.
Because you keep telling people boys will be boys, then they will continue to be boys or display or act out this kind of predatory behavior.
Yeah. A very toxic definition of boys. And by the way, the movement, the walkout movement, started in 2019. When a student reported being assaulted on campus and the faculty didn't do shit. So that was before all these Title IX changes took place, then the pandemic, and then they come back from the pandemic, and now the laws are even like looser and like less, you know, in the favor of victims. And yeah, they're going to have some walkouts, and like they've completely removed that. So I don't know. This is just another example of it. It feels like we have this misconception that we have a mainstream media in the US that is like left leaning or has a liberal bias. And in a lot of cases, like we, you know, we've talked before about how like people are talking about like, well, the Biden administration is like Carter and we're like going back to that malaise area. And now we're going to see like the 80s come back where rich yuppies and like Reaganomics rules the day. And it's like, no, we're already there. Like we're already there. This right. is the mainstream media is as conservative, if not more so than it was like during the 80s. It's fucked. And like the sooner we start like acknowledging that and like using words to identify that, I think the better off we're going to be. And I think people know it.
And to that point, Jack, I say we stop letting Miles talk for the rest of the episode. Because
thank you.
Because, man, Miles did some shit that we got to make him face the consequences. And his consequences is you don't get to speak for the next 5 minutes.
First Daily Zeitgeist without a Miles outro. No, this episode, so it's kind of interesting for, you know, a little peek behind the scenes. We are recording this episode just an hour and a half before we usually record our episode, and everything has completely fallen apart. I was off for 10 minutes, like just the technology in my house doesn't work.
The internet stopped working. I just woke up. Miles' internet wasn't working.
Falling off. Yeah.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a late morning, early afternoon recording.
That's
right. If everything is in the AM, you get anarchy, y'all.
It's true. From your mouth to God's ears. Jaquise, it's truly been a pleasure having you.
Always.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Well, you know, you can find me in the streets. Y'all still do shirts? Y'all should get a shirt made saying in these streets and see how many people buy it. I want no proceeds from it. None. Nothing. At Jaquise Neal on everything. Hey, you know, follow me, see what I'm doing. I'm doing a lot of shit. I got a lot of stuff going on. So we out here, y'all. But that's about it. I know you're gonna ask me about a tweet that I liked, but as the world knows, I'm no longer on Twitter. Because I've been
any social media you've been enjoying.
So, you know, I've been enjoying all the Steph Curry basically becoming, I know I'm great and fuck you, like aspects of social media.
Yeah.
I've been loving it, man. I love when great people stop conforming to this idea that they have to not be great. And, you know, this humbleness that they, like, be humble. Don't be a fucking menace, but... Also, yeah, man, be great because everybody's going to continually tell you you're not. So fuck them. Like, be as great as you are. If you're top 10 in the world at something that you do, I think you deserve to have a little dog in you. You deserve to have a little bit of, I know I'm great. And for everybody who doesn't think I am, fuck you. I think that's a beautiful thing. So, and for all the listeners out there, because I know it's a few who think Steph Curry ain't great. You know, full-time champ, baby. What you gonna say to that? So that's the part of social media I'm liking right now is all the clips and memes from Steph and that Warriors celebration of them just being like, yeah, man, we some of the best to ever do it, and y'all can't do nothing about it no more. Fuck being humble. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, me too. All right. Well, you can find Miles on Twitter at Miles of Gray. Twitter and I think Instagram. I've only heard him say it literally 1,000 times, but I'm pretty sure that's his handle on both. Great follow both places. I'll say it because he's not here. You can also listen to both of us on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, our very silly NBA podcast where we talk about things like the Warriors championship parade. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. And a tweet I've been liking, Hello:, tweeted, okay, Bob Dylan, name 4 regular jobs. And Bob Dylan says, ah, man, jugglers, clowns, obviously, mathematicians, and carpenters' wives. If you're a fan of Bob Dylan's music, he's, yeah, likes to sing about very random shit. And then obviously somebody tweeted, God didn't write the Second Amendment, a slave owner did. Which, helpful reminder. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. I'm trying to think. Let's just link off to the... I mean, the new Beyonce song is very good.
Sure. We'll I got one for y'all. I got one for y'all.
Oh, you got one? You got a recommendation?
Yeah, I'm a fan of this artist, Rex Orange County. He's great. He's dope. And he got a song out. They just dropped a single for it, One in a Million. I love it. It's a nice, chill song. It makes you feel like, you know, love is possible. And it's a beautiful thing. And that you are one in a million. Always remember that, everybody. You're one in a million, which means you ain't that damn special. No, it means that you're special.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.